This chazar is nechadun shabbos habachi cheschashang. Rabbi Yehuda mesechta soida daf yud zayin. Zok the Mishnah, when the kohen comes to write the parsha to be erased into the water, what psukim is he to write? So the Mishnah says from the pasuk of im loy shochav ish, he continues with viat ki sotis tachas yisheich. He does not write v'hishbiah hakohen es ha'isha, but instead picks up later in that pasuk with the words yitein Hashem oisach and then uvo hamayim. He does not write v'amr ha'isha amin amin. Rabbi Yosi says he would not skip in the middle of the psukim, but would rather write the entire thing straight through. Rabbi Yehuda says he only writes Zitan Hashem Oisach, Uvo Amayim, but he does not write V'amra Isha, Amen, Amen. What's Machlech is based on? Fakti Gemara, the pasuk says, V'kosav es ha'olois ha'ela ha'koyim ba'sefer. Rabbi Meir says, Minatanakama, Olois refer to the actual curses. Ha'olois refer to the curses that are inferred from the brachas. The pasuk says if she's innocent, nothing will happen, which means that if she's not, something will happen. Eila teaches to exclude the curses written in Chumash Devarim. Ha'eila comes to exclude the commandments to the kohen and her saying amen. So that's how he gets to his sheet of what you write, what you don't write. Rabbi Yosi agrees with Rabbi Meir, except he says that the word es comes to include the commandment to the kohen and her saying amen. Therefore, he says put it in, whereas Rabbi Meir does not dash on the word es. Rabbi Yehuda dashes each word restrictively, and therefore only the actual curses are written. Why is it that Rabbi Meir dashes one hey as inclusionary and one hey as exclusionary? Rabbi says a hey written on an inclusionary word is dashing to be including something. A hey written on an exclusionary word is dashing to be excluding something. We find that Rabbi Meir does not dash on inferences. If so, why does he say that the curses inferred from the brachas are included? So Rav Tanchum said, the pasuk of the brachas says, hinoki, written without a yud, which can therefore be read as saying chinki, meaning choke, and which is therefore an explicit curse. Rabbi Akiva dashes, if a husband and wife are zoiche, the shechina lives between them. If they're not, a fire consumes them, meaning the yud of the ish and the hey of the isha represent Hashem living among them. If they don't merit that, these letters leave, and what are you left with? Eish and eish, fire is left over in the world. Rava said the wife's fire is stronger than the husband's, because she has no letters of Hashem in between the letters that spell fire. By her, it's Aleph, Shin, and Hey. So it's not in between. By a man, it's Aleph, Yud, Shin, and therefore there's something in between. The name of Hashem is one of the letters of the name of Hashem is in between. Rava said, earth is mixed into the waters of the site to symbolize that if she's Zoicha, if she's innocent, she'll have a child like Avram Avinu, regarding who the pasuk says, Ofar ve'efer. If she's not Zoicha, she will die and return to the earth. Rava darshan, and in the merit of Avram saying, Vanoichi Ofar ve'efer, his children merited the two mitzvahs, the Efer of the Paraduma and the Ofar of the Saita. There's also, what about the mitzvah of the earth of Kisei Adam? The Torah says that mitzvah brings no benefit to the world. The meat is mutter even if the blood is not covered, and therefore it's not included in this drasha. Rava Dashan, and the merit of Avram saying, Im michut ve'ad sroich nal, his children merited the two mitzvahs, the strings of tzitzit and the straps of tefillin. Tefillin, we understand, has a benefit in this world. We learn that it causes the goyim to be afraid of us. However, what's the benefit of tzitzit in this world? And for the Gemara, Braisa says, or Ameya says, the color of the tzitzit reminds us of the sea, which reminds us of the Shemayim, which reminds of the Kisei HaKavod. Therefore, one who does the mitzvah tzitzis is as if he is mekabel pnei Hashchina, which is certainly a benefit even in this world. Zok the next Mishnah. The kohen does not write the psukim on a wooden board or on paper or parchment that was not fully processed. Rather, it must be written on fully processed parchment. This is based on the pasuk that says basefer. It may not be written with sap of a tree or kankantoim or any other substance that gets absorbed into the parchment and therefore doesn't get fully erased. Rather, it has to be written with dioy ink. This is based on the pasuk that says umocha, which teaches that it has to be a writing that can be completely erased. Sakti Gemara. Rava said, if the Megillah Soita was written at night, it's possible. This is based on Gzeir Shava on the word Torah, which is written by Soita, and it's also written in the Pasuk where it discusses Mishpat, judgment. And we learn that just as the best thing can only judge by day, the Megillah Soita can only be written by day. Next, if the Megillah Soita was written backwards, it's possible. This is based on the Pasuk of Ikosav es ha'olais ha'ele. It teaches it has to be written in the way that's written in the Torah. Next, if it was written before the woman accepted the oath, it's puzzle. This is based on the puzzle. It first says Vishbiya and then says Vikosav. Next, if it's written as a letter, meaning without the lines of Sirtut, it is puzzle. This is based on the puzzle that says Basefer. Next, if it was written in two columns, like a Sefer Torah, it's puzzle. This is because the puzzle uses the singular form Basefer, which means it should not be multiple Svarim. Next, Zakti Gemara. If the Kohen wrote each letter and erased each letter in the water before writing the next letter, it's puzzle. This is based on the puzzle that says the Oso Lo HaKohen Eis Kol HaTorah HaZois. Meaning it should all be written, and then only first then erased.